Life in first century Palestine, or around the time of Jesus Christ, for a woman was ridiculous. Because I'm going to do some presentism here. I know we've talked about it, but when I consider what it was like to be a woman, I don't know if I'd be able to handle it. Maybe I wouldn't know any different. But here's just a couple of things I found out. And maybe, Dawn, you can also chime in with some things about what it would have been like to be a woman from your research. Here's what I have found. First of all, they basically had little to no rights. And if you were a woman at this time, you pretty much answered to your father or to your spouse, and you would be engaged as early as 12 years old. So your life at 12, that's when you kind of just, it was over with, but then you would go from your dad to your spouse. A couple of other things about life as a woman during this time is you weren't even allowed to have any legal voice. There was no such thing as a legal witness of women. If a woman was called in like a court of law to offer a witness, it was not valid at all. So the reason why I want to talk about the witness idea is because anytime you come along in the scriptures and you read a story where the woman is a witness, where she has something to say and it's been written in the scripture, just take count of that and pause for a moment, because the witness might be really important. And we're going to talk about the witness of women today as we discuss Easter. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uselak Hall, and this is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry. And this is just one episode for the whole week, and we're going to talk about Easter. So grab your scriptures, and let's turn into the New Testament. That's where we're going to spend our time in these Gospels. And Don, teach us about the witness of women.
Okay, so we're titling this Women, the First Witnesses of Jesus Christ's Resurrection. This is so significant, eternally. Several faithful women had the paramount privilege of being the first witnesses of Jesus Christ. First, I want to ask everyone, what do you see in this painting? Who's in the picture? What are you seeing? So this is what our Lord saw from the cross.
Wow.
So this is Jesus on the cross and what he's seen, according to a painter, a famous French painter and illustrator. And I love this. And you can see Roman soldiers, and you can see sisters and some others here. It's a different viewpoint than what we're used to seeing. The resurrection of Jesus, what? The resurrection of Jesus is the most stupendous miracle of all time. President David O. McKay.
Wow.
This is what President Marion G. Romney said. He is risen. He is not here. These words, eloquent in their simplicity, announce the most significant event of recorded history, the resurrection of Jesus.
Okay, so where is the setting for this story and these witnesses? The setting was Jerusalem, the holy city. And then in John chapter 19, verse 41, the verse says, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid."
When? Resurrection Sunday, early in the morning. Now, the four gospel writers tell us the approximate time of the day, and I love the way they describe it differently. They're all correct, but it's just a little differently. Mm-hmm. As it began to dawn, Matthew, at the rising of the sun, Mark, very early in the morning, Luke, when it was yet dark, John.
Okay, so who were the women? This is so fun. All right, you want to know these names. First of all, we have Mary from Magdala, which is Mary Magdalene, holds great prominence. She experienced all three of these eternally significant events. At Jesus' crucifixion, it says, "There were also women looking on afar off at Jesus on the cross, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome." We have Jesus' burial. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And at Jesus' resurrection, Mary stands apart in history. She was the first mortal to behold the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and she also bore testimony to the apostles.
I've taken Latter-day Saint groups to Magdala.
Okay.
It was a small village on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. It is so sacred to this day. It is special. And they've uncovered part of the ancient synagogue. I love Magdala, and I love teaching about Mary there. Yeah. She is unique and highly significant. Who are the other women? There's Joanna. Now, it's a Hebrew name, and her name means the Lord is gracious, and it's a feminine form of the name John in Hebrew. And she is the wife of Herod's steward. She provided for Jesus. We don't know what that means. Is it food or clothing or blankets? We don't know.
Yeah, money.
She testified to the apostles. All of these are eternally significant. Susanna, her Hebrew name would have been Shoshana. It means lily. She also provided for Jesus. The next one is Shulamit in the Hebrew. And Shulamit comes from the same root as shalom or peace. She came to anoint Jesus' body. Mary, the mother of James, other women. Now we're going to get into the other women in just a minute. I love this image, but it's not totally historically accurate, but it shows women supporting Jesus as he's carrying the cross. Mm-hmm. So how were they witnesses?
Okay. The women saw two glorious angels dressed in white. So we have all these accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Their countenance was like lightning and their raiment was white as snow. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side clothed in a long white garment. Luke says two men stood by them in shining garments. And John says, Mary Magdalene seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. So when you get into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels.
Yes.
And that means to see together or to be similar. Is that correct? And what we love about this is so a lot of their stories are very similar, maybe a different take on the stories, but they contain a lot of same stories. But John is very exclusive in that it has stories that are not contained in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it's not part of the Synoptic Gospels. So anytime you have a story where all four of them are telling it and it all lines up, pay attention. And I think it's really cool because this is one of the examples. All four Gospels contain the stories of the witnesses of women. And I just kind of love this idea where if these were men who were overzealous disciples and they were trying to prove to everybody that Jesus was the Christ, they just wouldn't have included this witness of women because their witness wasn't legal. And so to me, that is just a testimony that this is true. This really happened. And I love that idea. I just wanted to say that about those Gospels. So as you read all of these, keep thinking in your mind, like all four men witnessed that these women really saw what they said they saw.
Number two, the angels bore testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. So they're hearing a testimony from heavenly beings. Mm-hmm. And I've wondered, is this the first testimony of Jesus Christ's resurrection to mortals?
Yeah. Number three, the angels invited the women to enter the tomb to witness for themselves that it was empty. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And they, entering into the sepulcher, saw the place where they laid Jesus.
Now, a personal note here, okay. Sister Hall. Notice this is by Haiti Armstrong, this painting. She's one of my research assistants.
Wow,
she
Haiti,
was a
good
great
job.
Research assistant. So thank you to Sister Armstrong.
Beautiful.
Now, the angels commanded the women to bear testimony. Now, talk about testimony in your opening.
Yeah.
So here are heavenly witnesses say, bear testimony of the resurrection to the apostles and disciples.
And you wondered if they were nervous about that, thinking no one will believe
us. Right. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead.
Number five, the women were first, after Mary, to see the resurrected Jesus Christ and to worship him. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. That's beautiful.
Now, we want to pursue this a little bit.
Okay.
About how many women. So I'm going to read the first half of a quote.
Okay.
But it's by Elder Bruce R. McConkie. Hmm. And I sustain him as a prophet, seer, and revelator.
Okay.
And I love this quote. It's published. And we'll give you the source. I think it's really important. But he gives us more knowledge about it. So the other women, for reasons of his own, the risen Lord singled out Mary Magdalene to be the first witness in point of time of his resurrection. Then, still in his own infinite wisdom, Jesus chose to appear to be handled by a group of other women, all before he came to Peter and the rest of the 12, all before his appearances to the hundreds of brethren who were privileged to see him. These other women included Mary, the mother of Joseph, Joanna, who was the wife of Herod's steward, and Shulamit, the mother of James and John. Among them were women who had been with Jesus in Galilee. Now, notice this word, and I pondered this. Certainly, he's not saying maybe or perhaps, or we wonder. Certainly, the beloved sisters of Bethany were there. Who were they?
That's great. Mary and Martha.
Mary and Martha.
Of course they would be there.
Their total number may well have been in the dozens or scores. A score is 20.
Okay.
So dozens, that's 24 more scores. We know that women in general are more spiritual than men, and certainly their instincts and desires to render compassionate service exceed those of their male counterparts. Certainly, among those faithful sisters that were there, there were some or all of the wives of the apostles. Wow.
That's
wow.
A lot. Yeah.
Perhaps also there were sisters of the apostles or even daughters. I urge everyone to take this quote seriously.
It makes me think back to all the times teaching seminary where the young women would say, where are the women in scripture?
Yes.
Like, show them this quote. Yeah. I love that he's even included wives of the apostles.
Yeah. The way he says certainly, and then certainly, and then perhaps, there's more to this than we're getting.
Yeah.
He was an apostle and a seer.
Yeah.
So I want everyone to take this seriously.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I will. Wow. Okay. What emotions did the women have at this significant time? And I love that you've included all of these. We have fear and great joy. They were affrighted. They trembled and were amazed and they were afraid. They were much perplexed, I would say. And Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping as she wept. There would be, I have all daughters, a lot of emotions. And so I connect with this. Of course, they had all those feelings.
Jesus commands the women to tell the brethren. Now notice this, why does he say, be not afraid? It might pertain to how you opened up our presentation.
Yeah.
They're women.
Yes,
and they're going to witness to apostles. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me.
Okay, so they do, they go. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles.
Wish I had have been there. All these parts.
To see
could I just see this? Every part of what we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a really great video that church has put out about Mary at the tomb.
Oh.
And it shows her running to tell the apostles.
Yes.
She's going quickly, like the scripture said, and she bursts open the door and she's just panting from running so hard. I just showed this in an institute class I taught, and it's so powerful because I just thought, I want to be like that. I want to run with his message to people. And then the door burst open and she just said, he's alive, like he has risen. I think it's neat.
And the scriptures talk about the sisters, a sister or sisters, on this occasion, running. They use that verb.
Yeah.
I did some homework. I'm thinking it's around 6 a.m., 6:15 a.m. over there. And to see them running down a path or an alley or a way or something, running, and there might have been urgency on their face.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those emotions you just read about.
I like that you pointed out the time because where I am, if I saw anyone running like that at 6 a.m., like people in my neighborhood run early in the morning for a nice jog, but to run with that urgency would have you think and pause for a moment, like what is going on? Who's chasing them?
Because to the best of our knowledge, avoiding presentism, they don't have joggers out there.
Okay, so then we have this unbelief and idle tales. Mary Magdalene went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, he had been seen of her, believed not. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Afterward, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided or scolded them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen.
I'm going to transition.
Okay.
And tell you, when I was a 12 or 13 year old, a deacon, I memorized all these passages that the church wanted us to. They were on little cards. I don't have any of the cards. Oh. And the way the bishop handled it is, I'd look way up at him, Bishop, I've got another scripture that I memorized to pass off. And very informally, before sacrament would start, he would take my card and he'd say, let's hear it. Very kindly, loving, right in the foyer.
Okay.
And this is one of them.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm not going to try to cite it now. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
But this is one, and I clearly remember memorizing this. It's Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon, February 16th, 1832. And now, after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony, last of all, which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father. So I want to add my testimony that Jesus lives. He overcame death and sin. He was indeed resurrected. He lives.
Thank you, Don. And as a woman, I will add my witness too. He lives. There is no doubt in my mind about that. I have experienced his witness and his presence in my life, and I am so grateful for that. And we are going to invite you throughout this Easter week to share your witness, especially you women. Oh, how we need your witness. Share your witness. Share it online, on social media, with your family and friends. If you have a Sabbath Sunday dinner to celebrate Easter, take that time to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Because I'm thankful we live in a time where women's witnesses do count.
Yes.
And so I think we need to embrace that. And women, get out there and share your witness of Jesus Christ. We hope you enjoyed this Easter episode, and we hope you enjoy your Easter as you witness of Jesus Christ. Shalom and goodbye.